This morning our scripture comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 1 on this Palm Sunday as we continue our series on heaven. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1 as Paul shares with us the blessings that God has given us through the coming of Jesus and what that means, blessings not only here but blessings to come as we have the new heaven and the new earth. Chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, where Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Blessed or praised be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Amen. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in him who he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one Lord, one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." And here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, for the precious promises of the spiritual blessings we have in you, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who is truly the King and the Lord of both heaven and earth. And Lord, as we've been looking at what your word has to teach us about all that is in store in heaven, not only the immediate heaven where those with you now are enjoying, but the day when heaven comes to earth and you come down and live with us forever. What a joy and hope that will be. And on this Palm Sunday, as we celebrate your coming into Jerusalem, we look with anticipation to the day that you will set your feet down in Jerusalem again and return and make everything right. So, Father, thank you for that hope. Lord, as we celebrate you this day, speak to us through your word and prepare us to meet with you at your table and to walk in celebration this week as we journey to the cross and look forward to the empty tomb. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It was Sunday morning. Large crowds were gathered together in the city of Jerusalem because the celebration of Passover was nearing. It was close at hand. And it was the day on Sunday morning of that week of Passover when it was the day that the lambs would be chosen at the temple to be selected and presented for sacrifice. And on that day, the day when the lambs were to be presented and chosen at the temple, Jesus himself enters into the city of Jerusalem. Amidst the great throng and celebration of people who praised and celebrated the coming of the King, the scripture says with palm branches, they took and celebrated victory. Praise be to the one. Hosanna to the one who has come to bring us salvation. But on that day in the city of Jerusalem, many were looking to Jesus, but not truly understand what his arrival into the city of Jerusalem meant that day. Many of them thought that Jesus was coming to be the king of this earth, to give them deliverance and power from Rome and its tyranny, and to set them free from Rome and its power over them. And that's what they were looking for, the coming of the Messiah in that way. But there was more to it than that. Because Jesus entered into the city on a donkey that day in humility as the king of both heaven and earth. And in that celebration, a lot was happening, and why he came to the city, that many missed it. In fact, Jesus later on said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," as he wept over them. He said, "If only you would understand what was happening on this day, the day that is coming to bring you salvation." And we've been looking at heaven in the series of heaven this morning as we look at Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is praising the Lord here for the blessings that we have in Christ our King. And the Jesus who entered into Jerusalem that day was truly the King of heaven and earth. And he came into Jerusalem for a particular purpose, to present himself to die. And as we look at the scripture this morning, we're going to celebrate our King who has come and is related to the series of heaven, because he came in a greater purpose. First, he came to redeem what was lost. It says here in verse 7 and 8 that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. And our Savior, when he entered into the city, and our Lord, King of heaven and earth, come to redeem what was lost, because when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, Satan appeared, or he thought that he had won. He thought that he had able to turn Adam and Eve away from God, corrupt the earth, and the earth was put under a curse, and the heaven on earth that God had created and intended to be God dwelling with us and mankind in that relationship, Satan thought that he had won. But you know, nothing takes God by surprise. And in eternity past, before God had even created heaven and earth, before he even created anything, God already had a plan. And God already knew what he was going to do to redeem fallen man and fallen earth. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In Genesis 3, verse 15, right after the fall of man, and Adam and Eve had sinned, and all of us were plunged into sin, creation was corrupted, the heaven on earth that God intended it to be was now laden with sin and decay and suffering and all that that we're dealing with presently, looking forward to the new one. But God said to Satan, the enemy, in verse 15, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike at his heel." And God said to Satan, "I have a plan that someday my son is going to come as the redeemer and to redeem back fallen creation and fallen man that you led away from me." And God had that plan already, and Satan thought he had won, but God had promised a redeemer, because he came to redeem what fallen humanity, us, bring us back into that relationship with him. He said, "In through Christ, through him, we have redemption." Now, how does that redemption come? Through the blood of Jesus, who died on the cross, shed his blood for us, and rose again. Then when we believe in him, we are saved. Praise God. And we are brought back. We are redeemed. And he has come also to redeem fallen creation and to restore the creation that was fallen into sin, and to redeem it and to bring us back into that relationship with God and to make things right. So he came to redeem what was lost, our world, those who are fallen into sin. And the Bible says all of us are sinners and we all need that saving. But he also came to reunite heaven and earth back together again. That's why he is the King of heaven and earth. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when all times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together again under one head, even Christ. So when Jesus came into the city on that Palm Sunday, he came to bring redemption to the lost world and restore it. But he also came to reunite heaven and earth. You say, well, Dan, how did he do that? Well, he did that by tearing down the wall of separation between us and God. And when sin came into the garden, it separated us from God. We had seen last week that God would come into the garden and he would talk with them face to face. And the Garden of Eden is a foreshadow of what heaven on earth is going to be, the new heaven and new earth. We've seen the parallels. We looked at that last week. And God would come in and he would talk with them every day. And sin came and brought a separation. And man and God were separated. They could not be together anymore because of sin. But Jesus broke down that wall of separation by dying on the cross and shedding his blood. And by believing in him, we are brought back together again through Christ. And we're no longer separated from God. But yet, we have that relationship with him. But someday, the wall of separation is going to be completely torn down because God himself is going to come down and live with us as we've seen. And we will see God face to face, uniting heaven and earth together permanently. Won't it be awesome? God living back on earth with us forever. No more separation. And that's who we have. That's who Jesus is. The Lord of heaven and earth, reuniting heaven and earth together under himself. If he says, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. If you go over a chapter to what we're in, look at what he says here in verse 14. For he himself is our peace, and has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So praise be to God, he has brought down that wall of separation and hostility between us and God through what Jesus has done on the cross. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, it says, the dwelling of God has now come down to earth, and God is willing with us forever. No more separation because of Jesus, our King of heaven and earth, who came to unite heaven and earth together. Praise God. And he did it also by reconciling all things into himself. And just as God and man are reconciled in Christ, so too the dwelling of God and the dwelling of man will be reconciled together under Jesus. As God and man were united in Christ, so heaven and earth will be united under Christ. And we will live on earth with God, will live on earth with us. And we will dwell with his presence in new, redeemed, restored, resurrected bodies for all eternity. Heaven and earth united again. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we celebrate. That's who came into the city of Jerusalem that day on Palm Sunday. The people didn't get it, but that's who it was. The one who was going to unite heaven and earth under himself. His God's plan is that there would be no more separation. There would be one earth, under one universe, under one Lord, forever, for all eternity, as he created it at the very beginning to be. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Listen to what he says here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You'll find that a couple books back. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, he says, he, talking about Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So he came to reunite heaven and earth. Third, he came to reclaim his own. Look at verses 3 through 6. Paul says, "Praise be to the God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms, for he chose us in him before the beginning of the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his good will." Paul said, before God even created the world, he already had you in mind. He already knew who you were going to be. He loved you, and he wanted you to be with him before he created anything else, which is awesome. He already knew who you were. And he wanted you to be with him. But sin came into the picture in the garden, and it marred that. Satan then laid claim to our lives. Satan said, no, humanity is mine now. They're under my control. They're under my power. I'm Lord over them now. But Christ came to reclaim that which was his own. Those that he already knew and chose in eternity past through our faith knew that he'd believe, and he came to die to bring us back to himself so that we would again belong to him. And he did that by setting us free. Setting us free from the curse of sin and death over us and under the power and control that Satan had for us. Christ set us free from that and reclaimed us as his special and his chosen sons and daughters of God that he already knew in an eternity past that you would be. That's the wonderful God we have. If you've ever seen either read the classic or seen the movie, A Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, the very first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, talks about the four of them as they go into the wardrobe and into the land of Narnia for the first time. And Edmund, one of the boys, one of the sons of Adam, is deceived by the white witch who represents Satan in this story. And she deceives him by offering him some Turkish delight. And told him, oh, eat this Turkish delight, this candy. It's really pleasurable. And he does, and he eats it. Well, then she then lays claim over him and said, now you're mine. Edmund, you belong to me. And you're under my power. You're my prisoner now. Aslan, who is the true king of Narnia, who represents Jesus, who is a lion, he makes a deal with the white witch, if you remember that part of the story. He makes a deal. And he goes into the tent, and he said, I'm going to make a deal. He comes out, he looks at Edmund, and he said, the deal's done. Remember what he did, if you know the story. He went on to the round table, the table he offered himself. And he was bound and offered himself. And in doing that, the claim that the white witch had over Edmund was gone. Because Aslan took his place. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what we celebrate this morning through the bread and the cup. Jesus, who took our place, releasing the claim and the hold that Satan claimed he had on us so that we could again be reclaimed by God as his chosen ones. So he came to set us free, and he came also to secure the victory. For Christ has already secured the victory when he died on the cross and he said, it is finished. The victory was won. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we saw the scripture there. It said that the enemy would strike at the heel of the descendant of Christ. He would strike at his heel, and that was the crucifixion. But it said Jesus would crush Satan's head. And when Jesus said, it is finished, the victory was won. And he secured that victory. It was guaranteed for us in the day of resurrection, which we're going to celebrate next week when he rose triumphantly from the grave. But Christ has already secured the victory. But friends, that victory will not be fully realized until the day the new heaven and earth comes to this earth, when Satan is completely destroyed, when he is bound and thrown forever into the lake of fire and all evil with him, and Christ reigns supreme on the new heaven and new earth for all time. We celebrate that victory, but it's already won. We're assured of it. We know that victory is ours, and he has secured it for us. So he has come to reclaim that which was his own. Satan has already been dethroned. He doesn't know it yet. Well, he knows it, but he's fighting, and he's fighting tooth and nail because he knows his doom is sure. But he has already been dethroned. Satan will be eternally dethroned, and Christ will be the unchallenged, absolute ruler of heaven and earth for all eternity. And we will rule and reign with him there in the glorious hope that is ours in the New Jerusalem. So he came to reclaim his own. And last, he came to restore our inheritance. Look at verse 14. It says, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit. The Holy Spirit is like our deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So Christ, when he came into Jerusalem that day to offer himself on the cross, says he was relentless. He was intent on where he was going because he knew he had come to restore our inheritance. And you may say, but Dan, what is our inheritance? And I ask you that this morning. What is our inheritance? What is the inheritance God has promised you? As his sons and as his daughters by faith, by being born again into his family, as any good parent, you want to leave inheritance to your children. God, as our Father through faith, leaves an inheritance to us. And what is it? What do you think that inheritance is? Anyone? Eternal life? Eternal life where? Let's look at what is our inheritance. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Here it's talking about the final day when we stand before the Lord. And it says, the king, Jesus is speaking here. This is in red letters. So this is Jesus' word himself. The king will say to those on his right, those who are the redeemed, those who are the saved by faith alone, come, you who are blessed, my Father, and take your inheritance. Here it is. Come receive your inheritance. What is it? He tells us. It's the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. What is our inheritance? It's the new heaven and the new earth, friends. It's our earth fully restored to us the way that God intended it in the Garden of Eden. What God wanted us to enjoy for all time at the very beginning. That he is restoring our inheritance, the earth, to put it back to the way it was, so that we can enjoy that inheritance for all time. Isn't that awesome? That's what's ahead of us. And he's going to restore that inheritance by removing the curse, by taking that curse away that was put on creation at the fall. And we looked a little bit about that last week, what all the events, what effects are going to be happening when the curse is removed. Our bodies will not wear out. We won't get sick anymore. We're going to have those new bodies. We're going to live forever with God. That's all those, the effects of the curse will be gone. No more earthquakes, no more pestilence, all of that. And we will live on the earth forever. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that the removal of that curse came at a great price. It's the Lord did it out of love for us, but it says he removed that curse by becoming a curse for us. That he died on the cross and took the punishment and all the wrath of God for you and for me so that we could be set free and the curse could be removed from us. And that's how we celebrate. And as we come to the table to remember this morning, he became a curse for us. But he's also going to restore our inheritance by remaking the earth, by restoring it back to what he intended it to be. All sin gone, all sorrow, all sadness, all that removed, and God will dwell with us. The Garden of Eden on earth, as we had seen last week, remaking everything to its original intent. And it would be like God is saying, this is what I created you for. This is what I intended for you to enjoy for all eternity until sin came in and destroyed the picture. And he will also restore our inheritance by renewing the mandate. Renewing the mandate for us to rule on the earth as he did in Garden of Eden, and he gave to Adam and Eve and put them in the garden and said, rule the earth and have dominion over it for me. And in that new earth in heaven, when heaven comes to earth, we again will rule with Christ on this earth and have that mandate of ruling with him on the earth that he has restored for us. And he was saying, he's like saying, here's what I created you for. Take it, rule, enjoy it, and live with me forever. Enjoy your inheritance for all eternity. That's what was happening when Jesus came into Jerusalem. To restore our inheritance, to redeem what was lost, to reunite heaven and earth, and to reclaim his own. A lot of people missed it, but it was significant because that journey took him to the cross where that price was paid, the victory was won, and we look forward to the celebration of resurrection. So praise the King of heaven and earth who united the two together through himself for all time. So as we come to the table this morning, we come to celebrate that. Our King, the one who gave himself on the cross for us. As we do on Communion Sundays, we begin with the prayer of confession and consecration. So ask to join me where you are as we come before the Lord in a time of prayer and preparation. Let's pray. As you are quiet there before the Lord, just take this time, first of all, to praise him for his goodness to you. That he is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he left heaven to go to the cross for you. To take your sin and punishment, your sin upon himself to set you free. So just praise him that he came for you to reclaim you back as his precious possession. Scripture also tells us as we come to the Lord's table, we need to examine our heart and make sure that there's nothing between us and him. That he died on the cross out of his love and grace to shed and forgive us all of our sin, and the power of the blood washes that away. But he said we need to examine ourselves as well to make sure there's nothing between us and someone else as we come to the table, they don't receive of the table in an unworthily manner. So take this moment, examine your heart before the Lord. Is there anything that you need to make right before him as you come to his table this morning? Our Father, we thank you. On this day, we celebrate your coming to Jerusalem. You came to this earth as the King of heaven and earth to redeem that which was lost, fallen humanity, fallen creation, to redeem us by the blood of your Son and restore us back to you. We thank you that you've come to reclaim that which was your own, that Satan thought he had claim to us, and he did because of our sin and the fall and the curse. But you came to buy us back. You claimed to claim us, reclaim us as yours through Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for reuniting heaven and earth together again, the taking down that separation, that division that divided us through God and man being united through you, and someday heaven and earth being united again as you come to dwell and live on this earth forever, as heaven comes down to earth for all time. We thank you through Jesus what you've done for us. And we thank you for restoring our inheritance, that someday the curse will be removed, all will be made right, and we will receive the new heaven and new earth that you prepared for us as you intended from the very beginning, for us to enjoy for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And Lord, thank you for the cross that has made it possible and for your love that took you into the city of Jerusalem that day to willingly give yourself, even though the crowd did not understand, the disciples did not understand, that was all determined in eternity past, and you already knew. And we thank you that your love was the motivation. So Lord, we thank you for the bread, a reminder of your body broken for us. Lord, we consecrate it to you. And Lord, as we partake of it, Lord, may we be reminded again and encouraged of your wondrous love for us. We thank you for the cup, a visible reminder of your body, your blood shed. And as we partake together, we consecrate it to you, thanking you that through the power of your blood, our sins have been forgiven and we have been set free with you. So Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you as we come to your table this morning, as you invited us, as you prepared it for us. We come in remembrance and in celebration of who you are and what you've done, as you've given us this meal together to enjoy together in remembrance and in celebration of you. Lord, may we sense your presence with us in a special way. And Lord, as we commit ourselves to you again, to love you and to follow you as your disciples, as your children. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.